2. 1980 needed big 1979. There are surprises, big and small, every year in international hockey, but the 7-game run of surprises strung together at Lake Placid make 1980 the unlikeliest gold medal in Olympic hockey history. In the process, United States hockey was thrust to an elite status that it is not likely to ever relinquish. Coach Herb Brooks concocted an outrageous plan, then had enough self-discipline to keep his foot on the gas and his eye on the target as he inspired his charges each step of the way. Of course, the Olympics were completed by the last week of February 1980, meaning to get to that year took something of a storybook year in 1979 to set it all up. Brooks was venturing into uncharted territory, but he was always driven by his passionate, if idealistic, belief that he could select the right players for an elite team and coordinate them into a unit that could perform in a totally flexible system, right out of his imagination. Nobody else on the planet has ever been capable of even imagining such a plan. A lot of teams are capable of changing from one attacking or defending system to another, even during a game. Brooks envisioned training his players to anticipate and respond to game situations in a manner predictable only to their teammates. He called it sophisticated pond hockey, and the beauty of his system was that it was no system and every system all at once. Put simply, you never have to adjust if you're always adjusting. Brooks already knew he had been selected by a somewhat reluctant Amateur Hockey Association of the U.S., AHA-US, which later became USA Hockey, after Harvard's Bill Cleary turned it down. That didn't interrupt his task at hand, which was coaching the University of Minnesota for the 1978-79 season, the most talented and competitive season in the Western Collegiate Hockey Association's rich history. Brooks led the Gophers through to a final game runner-up league finish. Then they went on to win their third NCAA championship in his 7 years as coach. When Brooks took over the last place Gophers, they had never won an NCAA title. And after one 500 season, he guided Minnesota to NCAA titles in 1974, 1976, and 1979. Almost immediately after that, he assembled the 1979 U.S. national team for what turned out to be a pretty dismal performance in the World Championships in Moscow. The U.S. won only 2 games and was beaten twice by West Germany in the B pool for a lowly 7th-place finish. Brooks immediately resumed what is surely the most comprehensive research and selection process ever attempted in picking a team, beginning with invitations carefully vetted by Brooks for the Midsummer National Sports Festival at Colorado Springs. After that, Brooks began installing a creative system of play that pushed his players into situations where they would be forced to use their own trained instincts to make plays in a total team concept, developed during a lengthy and competitive pre-Olympic exhibition tour of pro, college, and European opponents that went right up to the end of calendar year 1979. Coaching at Minnesota, Brooks had a head start, because he had recruited key Olympic candidates from his own highly skilled Gophers, as well as closely observing others during multiple games against arch-rivals Wisconsin, North Dakota, and Minnesota Duluth. Center Mark Johnson and defenseman Bob Suter played for Wisconsin. Center Mark Pavlich and wing John Harrington played for Minnesota Duluth. And David Christian was a star forward at North Dakota. Brooks, quite famously, had been the last player cut from the 1960 U.S. team that won its only previous gold medal in Squaw Valley, California. In the last game of the 1978-79 regular season, North Dakota beat Minnesota in the old Williams Arena in Minneapolis to win the WCHA championship when David Christian, the son of Billy Christian, Warroad Minnesota's star of the 1960 U.S. gold medal team, scored a hat trick. When Brooks pulled his goaltender in the final minute, David Christian rubbed it in against the old family friend by skating in alone at full speed toward the empty net, then stopping abruptly at the crease in a spray of ice chips